Next up in the open mic is James O'Leary.
So after writing a series of poems about my father's illness, I had a poem about his recovery. Pear, or more of a peach fuzz at first. In the pre-growth stage, your eyebrows are purple under skin. Then overnight, my mother tells me, they're back in full black attendance. Eyelashes silver in the light and peacock long after their 6 month absence. Once empty follicles refill and routines renew. Shampooing, combing, hair falling, not in clumps, but strands, bristles. Stubble reappearing evokes my clearest memories. School mornings, watching you shave, studying your face, and full of nerves during the dangerous part, razor beneath the jaw. Thank you.
Philip Spillane, please.
So this is based on like an illustration written in charcoal, and it's basically kind of like about, you know, when you do something bad, but it's not really that bad, but you freak out anyway, and it's about that. Love. Charcoal ash finely shadowed depths made bat's texture stained from the mistress with carbon coal staining her fingers but making figures on the opposite pole. The demonized creature's head is revealing, colored with the fleece, and membrane winds foaming unevenly in crazy mid-flight. Don't fold the yellow A4, else you smudge a wrong shadow, a pear upon a hair. But you have folded. And now a Chinese whisper of the previous illustration is there. You panic like a moth being hooded by a gothic grey-skinned bat, about to be raped by an apple-fanned mouth. But you escaped, because luckily the echo was never specific enough, or was never there. But you know your shadows. But what illustrations are those shadows revealing? Those islands, the charcoal borders, divides. The face, the hair, the skin, the mouth, the eyes. Your emotional, beautiful eyes. That's how beautiful you are. Be calm and enjoy life. Smile, that apple mouth. Thank you.
Yes, what else happy in life but just smile? Okay, so next up is R.M. Alan?
Oh, Ray.
Ah, Ray. So sorry. Oh, I see that. Okay. Yeah. Not an M, that's an A and a Y switched together. Ray, please. And can I do a little bit of this?
You want to sit down and...
I'll stand there, but he...
He's come prepared.
I like it. Hi.
How are you?
Yeah. Where is this? Yes.
Open it.
Oh, no,
it's not there.
Hello. This is a song I wrote quite some time ago, actually, about 7 years or something, but I'm trying to get around to actually playing these songs live and showing them the light of day, so... If you have a title that you want to suggest, please feel free to volunteer without having time to do it yet. I wrote a handsome love letter and I sent it to you in the mail. A messenger brought me your answer. He was sweaty, trembling and pale. He said you could tell by the curve on the L that the letter was not in my hand. What's more, it was trite and that I shouldn't write in a language I couldn't command. I wrote a piano prelude with solo for flute in F sharp. Then I sat myself under your window to play it for you on my harp. I sang there alone in my thin baritone, with the rain on your roof for a beat. I thought it was rude for the moon to intrude, to say she was trying to sleep. I came to an old Jewish pawn shop in search of a gift to your taste. I had just the thing, said the broker, and he showed me my head on a plate. I asked him the price and he hammered me twice. I blacked out and woke up in bed. I was missing my youth and half of a tooth, but he left me the plate for my head. I found a pretty blonde rag doll, and I dressed her to look just like you. I confessed to her I was lonely. She said she'd see what she could do. She lay like a whore on the cold kitchen floor, her stitching spit white on the right. And I do admit, I remember that tit in the prayers of each lonely night. I bought an easel and canvas to show how you looked in my eyes. The portrait was almost half finished when I heard it start to criticize. I finished her there, I set fire to her hair and buried the ashes at sea. Some days when I stand with my feet in the sand, I still feel her anxiety.
Lovely song, thank you very much.
Excellent.
And yeah, always welcome. We do like a bit of unplugged music, as a few of us know. So yeah, do come back. I hear the sequel to that. Yeah. Next up, Mary O'Connell.
There are two sides. Thank you. There are two sides to every story, and this is my side, and wouldn't be popular with Eamon McCann, but each to his own. It's called Brexit Regrets It. Remembering Yeats, it seems again the centre cannot hold. Divisiveness has opened cracks that serve to break the mold. Deep smouldering memories of the past, when greatness was the call, ignited patriotic pleas for Britannia to walk tall. Nigel Farage and Boris, leading the ultra-right, are being backed by Trump and Putin to confound the present plight. They counted on democracy to get the borders closed, prevent the hordes of migrants to which they were opposed. There are many who blame Labour, but Corbyn won't give up, though 40 of his cabinet are saying they've had enough. Since the Scots and Northern Irish want to stay in the EU, this leaves Wales and little England in a very messy stew. Petitions to reverse the vote have suddenly appeared. But it's too late. The die is cast. We're faced by what we feared.
Thank you very much, Mary. It's interesting, I'm seeing a lot of Yates quotes being used to describe the referendum right now.
Really?
Yeah, there's a lot going on, a lot of Yates in here. And at first I was like, well, I don't quite understand why Yates is so important, but actually, if you think about Nigel Farage, that is certainly a metaphor for slouching off to better. Next up, can we have Terry Dineen, please?
Woman sometimes has no will, no want, no drive. She dawdles and doodles, avoiding that moment of sitting quite still. She will dilly in the kitchen, dally in the garden, Facebook in the bedroom, putter in the bathroom, potter with stubborn denial, flirting with time, refusing to move with purpose, fully conscious of the consequences. She gets angry now, beats herself up for not following her goals, for slacking off, not chasing hay while the sun shines, rings in her ears. It's a beating reminder and metaphor she chews. But she's playing, procrastinating, not giving anything away, holding back, making excuses, acting smug and self-assured, waiting for the right mood, till she's got something to prove. Anyway, it's all about fate. The right time, the right place. 3 days later, you haven't moved and the reference room's closed. Too late. Tonight she might cry, or fight, or lie awake, thinking about what it is she should do. What she needs is a plan and a steady hand. Don't interrupt, I say, to the blood in my pen. Try again. Say what you like. What is it you want? Thoughts travel through matter, not mind. Become queen or king, whichever crown fits best. Don't stop, go with the flow, fight for a fuckle, struggle. The blood trickles out slowly, relentlessly I run on. Who is it I am talking to? The pen or the ink? Red or blue? Me or you? Or it? A romance or a comedy? Which? Full of promises. You're my lover, aren't you? For no other could be so poetic, so feathery, so prophetic, and so unapologetic. I am patient, obedient. Just tell me what to do. Great ghost rider of my dreams, mighty fountain of truth, I am but a blank page for you to spurt forth and mark the spot. Don't stop. Angles are sharp. Lean in and hold. Perfectly the balance as my lugubrious ink shimmies into a storm of alphabetical signs, drawing beauty from lines, I shape words into rhythm. Which led me into this allegorical tryst? I fling capitals to the wind. Admit I have been unfaithful to you, my pen, only at odd intervals, and you fell out of practice, stiff, refusing to jump, slowing down near the end. Go back to that word you crossed out, the part where it all begins. You are the boss of my blank page, adding dots and commas, dashes and colons, whenever you will, in a steady stream of unconscious passion, ejaculate free speech. How extraordinary you are! What fine skills you possess! You cannot miss. You have the thrill. Your rhythm is a sensation, making space for my next extrapolation. Halt, I say, for I must deflect and reconnect with the right side of my brain that wants to draw a daffodil, a butterfly, a leaf. So lie down, dear pen, and take a rest, useful commodity of my thoughts.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. Any time that I'm nervous of picking up my pen, I'm always reminded and warned to remember that the Greeks thought the muse was a demon that sat on your shoulder and took control of the body, which gives me a wonderful excuse for not having written for the last 2 months. The demon just hasn't written something. I put down my pen for a moment. Thank you. And Max Creedon, please. Come on.
Many's the match that was hatched after us. Many's the glad eye was cast on heavenly ones, tender and pale as a hawthorn bloom. Many's the silent tear siphoned away, hidden within the inner pocket, bailed out to brew and pour once more from battered aluminum teapots for one, blackened on log or hot sod. Many's the bravager clung to the pew, milking each syllable for the glorious moment, enunciating her enunciata, with her wither eye out for unslovenly types who might have the temerity to look her in the eye. Many's the fragile face flickers with clouds of passing smiles, who twitched to kiss his friend on the lead and gently fixed his paisley bandana. Many's the mother who thumped on her craw and begged that the Lord would spare her from all her more of life's dull loss. Dressed in her best for the day that's in it, a necklace of bruises and violet cuffs. Once the subtext would wait in the wings to quietly narrate the truth therein, each child alone in that world of no sound, prayed hard to their own and kept their eyes down. That's just a piece, and I've just got a notion, because Berkeley Tragedy wrote a tiny song for last year, and I did it the once, so I just... There's a chance straight from here to you, my love. As you tune into the station just above, and you listen on this frequency, my dear. If you make a choice, a voice is clear to hear. My existence is endless and timeless, and my words are only audible in silence. And I will comfort you from this place or place I'm watching out for you. This universe is limitless, my darling. Its boundaries are porous if you're calling. I just want you to be happy and to prosper, for this other world's just waiting at a whisper. So don't waste your heart in all those tears of pain. Just save them up for your new joy again. And I will comfort you from this peaceful place I'm watching out for you. My kids were safe when they went to America, and all the children didn't come home the same 2 weeks. So that was for them.
Kieran McCartney, please.
I thought the feeling would have come and gone by now. It found a home for itself and a new passion. Returned the idol to action. take the recommended dose. Chant the right rhymes, read the manual, but I don't move at all. I am suspended, open-armed, voicing charms, given breath months back, when welcomed with soft yes. Resting on warm chest, stroking skin. Fingering familiar patterns where the bed is bare. I yearn more than I learn. I turn and turn and turn and fix the same stare. I care for you more than I care for me, and I'm not going anywhere. Though I am free to roam through spaces filled with shapes of foam, landscapes of flesh and bone that I inhale on my own. I only heard one voice and it said go, and now I hear its echo. Thank you.
Nice, Bill. Thank you. Abhishek Stabnath has a single line to explain to us, so Stan. It's better be a really good line.
It's a matter for respect, but it wasn't.
So obviously we're all kind of shocked and stunned by the breakfast.
Here, here.
Yeah.
See you later.
So I'm reading a book at the moment, The Blood of Suburbia. I can't think of the author's name. It's
Khalif Qureshi. It's brilliant.
I'm reading it because David Bowie was in the soundtrack. And it's a story about a working class family who were Indian, brought up in London. And there's a line that just struck me that it was written in the 70s and nothing has changed. And he says it's about teenage groups growing up in London. We have nothing but miserable expectations and high hopes. And I think that's the truth to that, so I'm going to share with you. Yeah, there's another great quote. So kids these days, you know, they don't respect their elders, they're not learning anything in school, they don't want to get any work done, they're lazy, they're childish. And that was written in 43 AD. So everything changes, everything stays the same. I want to thank everybody tonight for their ears and for their mouths, for listening and for orating the poetry and some bits of music. Especially thanks to John Hennessy. Another round of applause, please.